Okay, if you already have a book, then you'll be given a handout with a paper clip. If you do not have a book, then we'll give you the books. Books are coming. Hallelujah. I'll go ahead and make a couple of announcements while we have a second here. We're getting ready. This presentation is what is the beginning of what we talked about last year concerning Paul's writings in Colossians 2, where he says the festivals, new moons, and Sabbaths are shadows of things to come. And we're beginning that series over the next few months with a goal of completing it before the Feast of Tabernacles. Goals are elusive, but that's our goal at this time. Everybody good? Okay, got your book, got your notes. All right, so let's begin. This message may seem evangelistic. Okay, so just remember that. Okay, we're going to talk about the Sabbath and the plan of God. Here we go. In the beginning, this would be Genesis 1. The first day, he said it was good. What did he say on the second day? Yes. Third day. Anybody see a pattern? Yes. It was all good, wasn't it? Okay, all the time. All right, so he did it. He did a good job. What does he say at the end of the 6 days? It's not just good.
Very good.
It's very good. All right. Now, I'm going to bring out some points about what took place during that time period. He rested on the seventh day. It says in the text that he rested, and in more than one place, in times I may only put one or two scriptures for something. There's probably going to be several more scriptures available. I only put a couple just to get my point across. I do have a plan. Here we go. He also blessed the seventh day. There's always so much to do here. Okay, now we're ready. All right, next. He set the seventh day apart from the other days. So you got 6 days and you got a seventh day. That's good. Now, one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is about God caring. All right, and I'm going to use that phrase a lot. You know, because we talk about caring. Well, we're going to talk about God caring, and we're going to talk about God not caring. All right, so you're going to see that throughout here. Now, in Genesis 1 and the first part of Genesis 2, we have the creation story, so we're all familiar with that. We've read it. It may not be self-evident, but God did care at that point in time about the Sabbath. All right, so, and I will make my case as we go along. Do not fear. All right, so, summary of the creation action. We had total perfection at creation. Total perfection. And he said it was very good. Now, it's a shame, but it could have gone on. When he finished creation, it could have gone on. It would have been wonderful. Of course, that's not exactly how it played out. But having said that, there's a reason. Watch this. Do we really feel that when Adam and Eve had their fall, that God was caught off guard? Do we really believe that? Okay. And how many are familiar with this passage in Revelation? Slain from the foundation. I feel that even though he had a perfect creation, he knew what was coming. All right. So stay with me. We're going to move forward in time to our next significant player, Abrahamic covenant. Here's what we got. He cut a covenant with Abraham to establish a nation that would receive his instructions. And what was the intention of these people receiving the instructions? That they would live them out. And if they lived them out, they would become a light to other nations. This is pretty standard stuff, right? And if you start to live these things out, then you become a light, supernaturally changed, and people see the light, and then they come and they say, I need to know what's going on. with you because I'm seeing the light. So the intention at this time and moving forward is we take on his character and then we are changed. People will see that. So his intention is that we live out his instructions. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, keep my covenant, you will be a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Pretty standard. We've seen that before, right? And the people answered and said, all that has been spoken we will do. And Moses returned the answer. So here we are at the foot of the mountain. Some things have been discussed in this covenant. The people have heard it and they've agreed. All right. All right, I want to talk about another section of Exodus, which once again, we're all familiar with. And we're going to focus on the fourth commandment, but in Catholic Bibles, it's the third. So if you've ever seen a Catholic Bible or you have one, then you'll have to make that adjustment. The one that we're going to be speaking about is this one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart from the other days. This was part of what was discussed when they had that gathering at the foot of the mountain. Based on these, just these few scriptures talking about, here are the things I want you to do. The people heard it. The people said, we will do it. The Sabbath is mentioned as remember to keep it set apart. The conclusion I draw from this short amount of verses in this section is that God cared about the Sabbath at that time. That's the only thing I'm trying to ask the question. It appears the scriptures support that he cared about the Sabbath at that time period. That's all I'm asking. Okay? Now, when is the Sabbath first mentioned? A possible answer would be Genesis 2, 2, and 3. However, what about the possibility if we go back to Genesis 1:14, where it talks about the establishment of the stars and the sun and the moon? All right, let's look at some verses here. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons. We've seen that before. Let's look at the Hebrew. Ot, moed. We've heard the Hebrew as well. All right, let's look at some definitions. First, we're going to start with the sign, which one of the definitions is to signal something. Another example is as a noun where, and you're familiar with these, the rainbow was a sign, was an ot. Circumcision. Every plague in Egypt was listed as an ot. Joshua's stones in the Jordan. How about the pronouncement of the birth in the prophecy in Isaiah 7 was also called a sign? Well, what else is called a sign? Shabbat. Shabbat is called a sign. Genesis 1:14 says these things are for signs. So you could almost say that prior to the day of rest, in his mind, he already knew the role the Sabbath was going to play. Because it is a sign, and he set up these things as signs. All right. Moed is also in verse 14. To designate a time for a meeting. Now, do you know what this means? It means that God has a day timer. That's basically what it means. And you know what that means to us? He has appointments when he wants to meet with us. If that is true, what should be our response? We should find out when they are so that we can be present. Am I saying anything that is unreasonable here? He has some dates and times for us to meet. We need to find out what they are. Right? This is my expanded version of verse 14. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and to designate the times for divine appointments. All right, let's continue what we're building. We're going to be looking at a passage in Leviticus, but before we get there, I want to give you the Hebrew so you can understand. We've got the word for proclaim, which designates, I'm going to tell you something, but that's not where it ends. This Hebrew word doesn't end there. It also is looking for a response when I tell you something. It's looking for a response back. So when God says, I've got some times that I want you to meet at, our intended response should be, okay, well, when are they? Because I'll be there. That's what our heart should be toward our Father. Children to their Father. All right, the next is mikra. For rehearsal, I put dress. I'll tell you, you'll see how I'm going to use that. It's also translated as convocation assembly, depending on the context. So I'm going to use it in different ways, and when I write this verse up, you'll see it. Okay, so we've got these three words we're going to talk about. Proclaim, an appointment for a rehearsal. All right, let's take a look at what it looks like. Speak unto the children of Israel, and we'll discuss who they are later, and say unto them, concerning the divinely appointed times which you shall proclaim to be holy dress rehearsals, even these are my divinely set appointments. That's just expanding the Hebrew there. And I can see this. I can see this. Now, what is the next verse talking about? The Sabbath day will be one of those times. It is a time that He has set apart. All right? Let's continue here. How many people are familiar with this passage in Hebrews 10? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some have begun to do. In my study of New Testament history, there were people prior to the destruction of the temple in that time period of 10 years in which they began to not observe certain festivals and Sabbaths because they had some misunderstandings. And some people were not assembling themselves together. Not a difficult concept. So here we are being exhorted. Don't do this. We need to assemble ourselves together. Why? Because He has set up times when we're supposed to assemble. It's just not that hard. All right? Now, I've put this note in because it is important that we at least be aware of this problem. If our Heavenly Father did not establish a particular appointment as a call to worship, we might want to look into who did. I think that's important. And if we determine that the enemy established a call to worship to replace one of the appointments of my Father, I need to take note of that. Okay? That's why it says note. This is just a note. All right, let's continue. Reasons the Sabbath were given. Exodus 31 in verse 13 and 17, it's a sign. 15, to rest. 17, our Heavenly Father said that He was refreshed on the seventh day. So we got refreshing going on there too. And there's a sacred come together of Israel. The children of Israel come together at this time. Very cool. Very cool reasons for the Sabbath. All right, let's continue asking some questions. Who was the Sabbath for? A popular answer is the Jews. Now, Here's my question to that question. The Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments given in Exodus. We just saw this. If you think that the Sabbath was only given to the Jews, can you make the case that the only tribe at the foot of the mountain was Judah? The only tribe at the foot of the mountain was Judah. Can you make that case? Because if you cannot, then you need to find out who was there. It wasn't just Judah. Okay? So, issues there. All right, let's continue. Who's the Sabbath for? Well, why don't we find out what Yeshua says? The Sabbath was made for the Greek word there I've highlighted in yellow. How many people have heard of anthropology? Yes. Well, that's what this Greek word is. Shabbat was made for anthropos, mankind, all of mankind. How about some prophecies concerning Gentiles? Dealing with Gentiles on the Sabbath is always fun. Isaiah 56:2. Blessed is the man that doeth this, the son of man that layeth hold of it, and it keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. It's a Gentile prophecy. 4. Keep my Sabbath. Choose the things that please me. Take hold of my covenant. Continuing. 6. Also the sons of the stranger, Gentiles, that join themselves to serve him, to love, to be his servants. Everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of the covenant. It's talking about non-Israelites here. Sons of the strangers. 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. What does that mean? Oh, from doing my own pleasure. On my holy day, his holy day, call the Sabbath a delight. Not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words. These are the things. Look at the next verse. Then shalt thou delight thyself, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places, to feed upon with the heritage of Jacob thy father. Who was Jacob the father of? Israel. Jacob was the father of the tribes. And we would be feeding on the heritage of the father of Israel. All right? Let's continue. How about the New Testament? Does the New Testament talk about Gentiles? Here we go. Remember, in the past, you were Gentiles in the flesh, in the past. At that time, you were without one Messiah, separated, I put the Greek word there, separated from the commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth is the Greek word politico. We all know what a political body is. The political entity of the nation of Israel, we were separated from that and excluded from the covenants. We had no hope, and without God, I mean, what did we have? Shee whiz. I think this kind of like concludes the whole thing. 13. But now, something's changed. In Messiah, you who were previously far off have been brought near. Okay? 14. He is our peace, joined both groups into one, destroyed the barrier of tradition that had separated us. 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in man's traditions that separated us. You see the path? Now look at how it is concluded. Verse 19. Therefore, you are no longer excluded from citizenship in God's kingdom, but are fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. What has happened here? We have now become a part of spiritual Israel. We'll talk about that right now. Romans 11:17. If some of the branches be broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, what are you not supposed to do? boast against the branches. All right? So, there's just a few scriptures on the top. What we have learned. Let's take a look at what we've learned. What happened at the time of creation? It was perfect. During creation, the Sabbath was established as a sign and a divinely appointed time of rest and refreshing. He cared about the role it played. You saw that as it was discussed in Exodus, pointing back, looking at the week of creation. At the time of Moses, the Ten Commandments were given, and all the tribes were present. And also, I want to just add, there were people there that were not part of Israel that came out of Egypt, and they also heard this. Here is the commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. It's right there. It is important. Exodus states that when it is observed by Israel, it is a sign between them. That's pretty important. He explained the Sabbath is to provide rest from 6 days of labor and a refreshing. You know, you would think that people would like that concept. I'm just saying. Okay. It's clear at this time, with all that he was talking about throughout the statutes and the judgments, that he cared about the role the Sabbath played for his nation that he brought out of Egypt. He cared about it. But we need to also look at the prophets. We already looked at some of the prophecies of Isaiah, and we saw that even the sons of the stranger that come in will be blessed if they take a hold of this and set aside their thing. So here we can see that he did care about the role. First century, Yeshua said, it is all for mankind. Romans states that we've been grafted into Israel. And Ephesians states that in the past we were Gentiles that were excluded from what appears to be like everything. And now we have been brought near so that we have access to everything. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Okay? Yeshua's work has allowed us to become a part of Israel. No longer excluded from citizenship, we are now fellow citizens with the saints. So we are a part. All right, so now we're going to talk about the plan of God. We've seen how God has cared about these pieces. I'm going to pull this together for you. What is the plan of God? In Acts 3:20, he says, he shall send Yeshua the Messiah, which before was preached unto you. Verse 21 says, where in heaven he must remain until the time to begin the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. This is the plan. Remember, we talked about at creation, we've got very good, we got a bunch of goods, we got a very good, we've got perfection. And then along came Adam. He was not caught off guard. All along, his plan was the restoration of what had been created. And here we see it being spoke by Peter at the temple on the day of Pentecost. When does the restoration of all the things begin? Well, when does Yeshua leave heaven to establish his kingdom on earth? It says that heaven must keep him until the time when the restoration begins. That's real simple. He's going to stay in heaven until restoration begins. So when is that? It's when he returns to establish his kingdom. All right, what is that called? The millennial kingdom. So we need to find out if the Sabbath is mentioned in the millennial kingdom. Speaking of the priests, it says, they shall keep my Torah, my statutes, in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Millennial kingdom teaching. How about the people of the land? They will worship at the door of this gate in the Sabbaths. So here we have begun the restoration, and what is the first thing that's in place? the people will come on the Sabbath. I'm concluding that he cares about the role the Sabbath plays during the millennial kingdom. All right? Now, what about the new heavens and the new earth? That's the age that comes after the millennial kingdom. What do we got there? Isaiah 66 says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, so shall your seed and your name remain." But look what the next verse says. "All flesh will come to worship me" when? On the Sabbath. Anybody see a pattern here? All right, so we've got restoration. It's clear that during this time period, if all flesh is going to worship him on the Sabbath, certainly he cares about the role the Sabbath plays during the new heaven and the new earth age. Simple. All right, so we need to look at what this evidence has shown us. What are our conclusions? I'm going to provide a visual aid, okay? It's called, "Does God Really Care About the Sabbath?" All right, so let's put up our chart. Here we go. If we're going to ask questions, we need to have some question marks, right? Are we ready? Let's fill this chart out. During creation, did God really care about the Sabbath? What about during the time of bringing his people out of Egypt and establishing them as they were moving toward the promised land? What about the prophets? Talked about the sons of the strangers. I think we got a case there. How about Yeshua? He said that the Sabbath was made for mankind. Now, the restoration of all things. We saw it spoken by Peter. So, in the millennial kingdom, did he care about the Sabbath? The text said that they will come and worship on the Sabbath. But what about the new heavens and the new earth? Did he care that he would require all flesh to come and worship him on the Sabbath? All right, so, what is the question that remains? The time of the Gentiles. And did he care about the Sabbath? No. He did not care about the Sabbath. That's what I was taught. For 25 years, I believed that all ages of the creation of God, he cared about the Sabbath, but not the one I'm living in. 25 years. And you know what verse gave me the most problem? This one. "I change not, except when I do." That's a different Bible. You may not have that extra edition verse there, okay? Let's go back to the time of the Gentiles. How long was the Sabbath to last? Well, "The children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe it throughout their generations, obeying the covenant on a continuous basis." I don't know. That sounds like it's going to last for a while. You know, I don't want to read anything into the text here. All right, now, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Here's the good news. If you're not part of Israel, you don't have to be concerned about the Sabbath. You're good to go. Yeah. Of course, the bad news is, if you're not a part of Israel, you ain't got nothing in God. You know, you're going to have to do this count the cost thing, okay? Because here's an interesting tidbit of trivia. God of the Gentiles never occurs in the text. It's always the God of Israel. It's never the God of the Gentiles. Interesting. All right, Romans 9:6, the clearest statement by Paul in all of his writings. All of Israel is not Israel. Yeah, I got that the first time too. All right. Galatians 6:16, what is it talking about? It's talking about the believers who are part of the Israel of God. What did Yeshua say? I will build my ecclesia, or ekklesia, however you pronounce that Greek word. Ephesians said that we have now become a part, because we used to be Gentiles and had nothing. Now we've been drawn near and we got it all. And Romans says that when you get grafted in, do not boast against those who are there. So to me, I don't know. Well, here's the question that's got to be asked. Did Gentiles, did they go to a Sabbath meeting? Let's find out. When they departed from that place and came to Antioch in that place and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down, we're talking about Paul here, after the reading of the law, boy, this guy did not have a clue what was coming. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue said unto Paul and his gang, if you got anything you want to say to exhort the people, bring it on. All right, so what happens? Paul talks about Yeshua and recent events. 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, who spoke up? The Gentiles asked that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And Paul said, verse 43, no, tomorrow's the first day of the week, and that's when we meet. That's not in your Bible? Oh, okay. Well, let's see what 44 says. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city. I don't know. It looks like to me some Gentiles were in the Sabbath meeting. All right. Let's keep going. With this evidence, some will still say at the death of Yeshua, the Sabbath was replaced with Sunday. I've been there. If anybody has been there and done it, it's me. Been there and done it. All right. And here are some passages that are used to support those scriptures, that particular theory. Colossians 2, 16 and 17, Galatians 4, 10, Romans 10, 4, 14, 5, 6, and there's a bunch more. But guess what? This assembly spent 2011 answering every one of those scriptures. We examine the professors of the theologian, what are they called? Seminaries. The professors in the seminaries, we pulled their writings and used them to uncover the fact that they understood what the scriptures really said. We exposed it all. We took the whole year and exposed it all. So these do not have any merit anymore. And if you need to access this material, it's free online. All you have to do is click. Now, let's go back. Where did we leave off? Let's see. God, does he really care about the Sabbath during the time of the Gentiles? My conclusion is that he did. And so, as you can see, we have a complete run of all of the ages of creation, including those that have not arrived yet. And this seems to fit that passage in Malachi better. I change not. All right, conclusions. What we learned is that the Most High cares about the Sabbath from the time it was created until the restoration is complete and beyond. And we covered every time period and looked at the smallest sampling of scriptures. All right, so now, let me close this out with some comments. 1 Samuel 2:3, it says, by him actions are weighed. Whose actions? Our actions. What we do is weighed by him. What is Hosea 4:6? I was always taught 4:6a. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what I was taught. But then I looked at 4:6b, and it said, since you've forgotten the Torah, I'll forget your children. I never got taught the B part. Yeah. Now, let's talk about pagans. Even a pagan, look at first century and back. Even a pagan understands that they need to find out what their pagan deity desires. Help me. Help me. Okay? Why can't we apply the same principle and search the scriptures for the truth? and find the ancient paths. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm just asking you to apply the same principle that a pagan applies to his pagan deity. Find out what our Heavenly Father desires and then make it a plan to do it. Now, well, I'm already in. Well, here's the problem with that. Many will say, Lord, Lord. What follows? He says, depart because you disregarded my divine instructions. Many are called, few are chosen. We've read that verse before. Luke 13:24 says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, because I tell you that many will try to enter and will not be able. Why? Because they disregarded the divine law. Wow. Well, certainly there must be something in the New Testament in Paul's writings that will help me here. Yeah, there is. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, determine if you are still following the truth. That's what it says. That's all it's saying. Determine if you're still following the truth. Don't get caught saying, Lord, I didn't know. And him responding with, my child, I put before you that which could help you recover the truth of the ancient path, and you couldn't even check it out. That's all he's asking you to do, is to give it a fair reading. He's asking you to do that. If you don't do that, is that how a child honors his father? Let me close with one last scripture. The leaders of Israel have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Here is my plea for you. Don't hide your eyes from his Sabbath. It's an appointed time. He's got a time, a day timer. We need to find out when he's calling to get together. We, within our hearts, need to want to be there. Please do not hide your eyes from this divinely appointed time. Check the scriptures. Check teachings that address misinterpretations. Let him speak to your heart. But do not knowingly and willingly hide your eyes, because he will be profaned. And that's not good. That's all I have. Thank you.